It's time to get started. I am Fabian Fernandez. I am from the University of Minnesota, Nutrient Management, and I will be presiding this session today of Nitrogen Science and Management. Just a few housekeeping business. If you would try to sit towards the front so that you give room for people that will be coming later. And make sure you turn off or silence your mobile devices. This sign-up sheet for CCA credits, if you would like to sign up in and out, we'll have that here in the front table. Please do that between speakers. The speakers have a total of 15 minutes for their presentation. I will actually set up my iPad here with the timer for 15 minutes. At 12 minutes, I will stand up to let you know that you have 3 minutes left, and hopefully you'll be done at that time so that you can have a little bit of time for question and answer. After 15 minutes, the alarm will be so loud that you will not be able to talk over it, so you might as well be done at that point. And then we'll have a break at 2:30. And for those of you that may not be here for the entire session, I just want to remind you that we have a joint Soil Fertility and Plant Nutrition Division and Nutrient Management and Soil Plant Analysis Division business meeting this afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. And that will be in room 101 DE. And following that business meeting, we have the Leo Walsh Soil Fertility Distinguished Lecture that will go until 7:45 in the evening. So with that, we will get started. Our first speaker is Newell Kitchen, and he will be talking about public-private partnering for improving performance of corn nitrogen fertilization tools.
Thank you, Fabian. I will say I think you're a better moderator than you are taxi driver. He gave me a ride to the restaurant last night, and I'll just say I'm glad to be here today. So we're going to be talking about this project that started actually 2 years ago from this meeting. And we're talking about the back of the envelope start. You can see the names of the individuals that are associated with this project, including the funding organization, DuPont Pioneer, individuals there, Paul Carter and John Shanahan. And so it's kind of a lead. I'm going to tell you about the project and more about how we've done it and some of the advantages of this project. Three graduate students will follow me with presentations about some of the results of the first cropping season 2014. In addition to the individuals you see up here, there's there's five graduate students who are associated with the project, funded through the project. There's an additional probably 5 to 10 additional graduate students that help, and a number of other postdocs, undergraduates, field technicians. So the acknowledgement list would go long. We just know that this is a fairly big team of individuals helping to pull this off. So as background to this, there was about a decade ago, a group of us associated with the nitrogen use efficiency workshop that Jim Sheppers and Bill Ron have helped to organize in the summer each year. And as a part of that, there was an initiative to do some nitrogen response trials, specifically to take some measurements associated with canopy sensing. And it was a big group of us that tried to do that, and we learned a lot of things. It was not very well coordinated because there was no central funding for that. We were trying to pull it together with loose ends. There was one good publication that came out of that. Nicholas Tremblay in the Agronomy Journal published this article that was really good, and it was really kind of getting at that regional scale. And I think it was actually this paper that was referred to in the big data plenary session yesterday. Not that it was all that big, but at least it was big from the standpoint of geographic extent. I mean, it's all the way from Mexico up into Canada. Then more recently, Laura Thompson, working in the advisement of Richard Ferguson, with Dave Franson and myself, worked with her on a kind of a regional project looking at sensors, looking at models, and that was just this year also published in the Agronomy Journal. So that was another one, kind of a foundational study that got us going for this project that we call, that I'm going to be talking about today. But the central question for this project is what decision tools perform best for making corn nitrogen fertilizer rate recommendations? And it stems from the fact that there's all these different tools out there now. There's the empirical-based models like the MRTN. There's crop growth models, both public and private. There's remote sensing. There's soil tests. There's the canopy sensing. There are all these tools are out there. And once in a while, we get comparison of one or two or three of these tools at the same time, but it's hard to kind of compare many of them. So the idea of this project was to be able to assess many of them at the same time. Where do they work best? When do they work best? So what is needed is data sets over a wide range of soil and weather scenarios that allow for simultaneous validation of decision support tools used in making corn nitrogen fertilizer recommendations. This is a picture of the majority of the group. We meet annually face-to-face, but monthly on teleconference to kind of improve the coordination of this. The flower mural in the background kind of makes it look goofy there. But anyway, you can see that the individuals there and some of the graduate students associated with. And the title of of this project is Performance and Refinement of In-Season Corn Nitrogen Fertilization Tools. So the data from this project generated, and it takes a split. And the split is that part of it, or the data goes to DuPont Pioneer. They're the funding organization for this, and they're going to use that to evaluate their proprietary products for their own decision aids. Likewise, that data is also be able to use by universities for the evaluation of the public domain decision aid tools to develop agronomic science, improve crop nitrogen management, and train new scientists, and to be able to publish on that. So it's been structured in a way that both groups are having their needs met. The terms of the project collaboration, it's a three-year project, so just finishing our second growing season. It follows a common agreed to protocol. The raw data is maintained confidential to the parties for a period of 1 year from the expiration of the project. And the public partners may publish or present results during the project, like we will get after my presentation with the three graduate students today. There are some unique traits to the way we set up this project. It's regional with two contrasting soil sites for each state. There are many measurements that are taken at each site to test drive many different tools. And there's a common implementation and measurement, including baseline site characterization. You can see the list there and read that quicker than I can name it off. But there's common procedures that we're using. And then another unique trait is the fact that we have this graduate, undergraduate student experience that includes the regional data as well as regional collaboration. And that's a fairly unique thing for this. So project tonight, design, we have showing where the 16 locations are for the 2014 year. The treatments are pretty straightforward nitrogen response treatments with a set of treatments at planting, another set that goes along with the split application with some at planting and the other at V9 or approximately V9. And then there's all these other additional climate, soil, and crop measurements that are taken that kind of help us be able to have confidence that there's not a lot of confounding things going on in terms of how we measure them. The common protocol go in as an important part of those measurements. So the tool assessment is pretty straightforward. It's you develop from these nitrogen rates EONR calculations. And so at the end of the study with the 48 sites and then both at planting and citrus, you've got 96 EONR values that you can work with that have range over a wide range of different soil and weather scenarios. You have the tool that the information you've gathered to be able to use the tool had you used it at some point, either at planting or in season. And then you relate those two together. And as this example shows here, and you'll see this a little bit later, but the tool recommended rate on the x-axis and the economic optimal end rate on the y-axis. And then those letters there are one of the sites. Each of those two letters are one of the sites, and it shows you how well the tool matched up with the EONR. So that's pretty straightforward, kind of a consumer reports a way of looking at a whole bunch of the tools. But you can also then also take those tools and the end rate from those tools and the EONR and look at things like profitability, nitrogen use efficiency, end loss, et cetera. So I'm going to do a quick, there's a number of different studies that are being done. Each student is carving off a different kind of a aspect of the project, and then there's others of us that are doing other parts of the investigation. So Mac Bean will be talking, he's doing his work on performance and improvement of crop canopy sensing algorithms. Jason Clark at Minnesota assessed the impact of pre-plant and side-dress corn nitrogen fertilization on in-season soil nitrate availability and N-uptake. And he will be also presenting today. Curtis Ransom, also at Missouri, he's going to be doing a comparison of the a number of the different tools and their ability to make EONR, good EONR estimates. And then there's Matt Schaefer from Purdue University working with Jim Camberato. He's looking at the agronomic use efficiency of N fertilizer as impacted by N rate and timing. And then Chris Bandura, he's going to be assessing the impact of pre-plant and side-dress corn nitrogen fertilization on EONR, NUE, and post-harvest soil nitrate. Are all five graduate students in the room? Stand up if you're one of those five graduate students. So we got four out of the five. And Matt's here someplace, so thank you. Have a seat. So one of the things that I think is advantage of this, too, is we can not only compare all these different tools and how well they perform, but we also can then look at that information and start to think about how maybe the tools start to inform each other and make a better decision. Or you might think of this as tool fusion. So maybe you have maximum return to nitrogen. Yeah, I can't get that out sometimes when I'm talking fast. And it may be used to inform one of the other tools. So you actually can use these tools and you can start to explore different ways that you have tools informing each other. There's new research questions that may arise, and we've already asked some of those questions. One that I am interested in, I've done a lot of work with soil electrical conductivity, and I've always felt like that there's more that could be explored there in terms of how can we use soil electrical conductivity to help us to understand nitrogen response or nitrogen mineralization, nitrogen loss. For example, this is one of the sites. Here you have all the sites with a common scale of soil EC from very low, which would be your sand sites, to very high soil EC up in the 50s or 60s even. And you can see that most of the sites look like they're fairly uniform because the sites have been picked for you because they look like they're uniform. But when you do soil EC surveys on these sites, you find that there's variation on them. And in fact, from 2014, after modeling for EONR, both planting and side dress in applications for each block, the model residuals were tested using plot level soil EC measurements and found significant, or EC helped explain some of that lack of response 29% of the time, or almost a third of the time. And that's over a fairly small area. And I've kind of circled some of those. You can see there's variability within these sites, these 1 to 2 acre sites. And that is having an effect on how the crop responds. And so I think we can start to tease out some things relative to soil EC on these sites. So a quick summary of the 2014 yield results. I didn't want this just to be an overview of the project. I wanted to talk about a little bit of data. So here is the EONR values, and I've kept them in the pounds per acre units for our group here today. But you can see that even though seems to be very tight. Even at these 16 sites, you have almost a 200 pound per acre variation in EONR within the 16 sites. You know, as low as about 80 and as high as about 280. You can see the EONR for the side dress is a little bit less, and the mean is a little bit less with the side dress. If you look at the EONR yield response, so that's your bushels per acre with adding the nitrogen, again, there's a fairly wide range of response that you're going to have on this sites scattered over 8 states. And then you have the EONR agronomic efficiency. How much time you got? 1 minute? Oh, 2 minutes. Good. And so the agronomic efficiency, let me back up one. So the response to the yield response to N was a little bit slightly better with the side dress than it was with the planting. And so if you put the first slide and this slide together, then you can see that agronomic efficiency is actually going to be a little bit better with the side dress. Not a lot, but it's a little bit when you look at the mean of that. So that's just kind of a little teaser to kind of get the discussions or the presentations of the graduate students prime, they're going to be talking in more detail of the results of the 2014 season. Advantages of this public-private funded research. Its ability to focus on specific need. Often public funding requires breadth, which dilutes researchers' ability to focus. It's a very specific thing we're focusing on, and a common need that DuPont Pioneer saw. A willingness to fund a crop production need that public funding research programs have avoided in recent decades. The reduced bureaucracy, paperwork often associated with public funding. There's more time to do the research, and I'll tell you that I really appreciate that. And we, like I said at the beginning, it was 2 years ago at this meeting that we sat down and started scribbling out on the back of an envelope or whatever some of the objectives and what we would do. That was 2 years ago, and here we are right now, and we have two growing seasons worth of information already. I never would have been able to do that with public funding. It just doesn't happen. It builds on the unique perspectives and strengths each investigator brings with critical and creative thinking. Perhaps this also helps neutralize individuals' biases. And then finally, it's fertile ground for cooperation, flexibility, and trust. And I really, it's worked out great, and I found it to be a very wonderful project to be associated with.
Very good. Thank you.